Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Children and others look forward to this time of year, hoping to get that perfect present. And sometimes the present that you unwrap is not exactly what you were looking for, as illustrated by this video. See if any of our parents can relate. You know, adults can be disappointed by the gifts that they get as well, but they have the capacity to not let it show as much. But that little girl, I'm hoping she got a toy, and I bet she did. And maybe it's good to lead with the toy and go with the clothes later. But this is, Jesus came to give us hope, and our theme this morning is hope and how we can have hope, even overflowing hope in our life. And there's a verse that I'd like to read from Romans chapter 15, and it's on your message notes if you have those there. So would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we look at this subject of abiding hope. The word says in Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these moments that you've given us together to be in your house. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word now. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the hope that you deliver into our life, the gift of hope that you give us. So Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage of scripture clearly says that God is the source of overflowing hope in our life. And that's number one there on your message notes. God is the source of overflowing hope. This verse in the New Living Translation says that Paul is praying for them when he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, he is the source of hope that we have, and that source of hope can even overflow in our lives so that we can have this confident hope, that we can have peace, that we can have joy. But something happens to us along the way, and sometimes our life doesn't line up with that verse, that we don't have overflowing hope in our lives. And many of us, if we were honest, would admit that as we approach Christmas 2018, we're not overflowing with hope. Many of us are glad that 2018 is almost over because it's been a hard year. At the beginning of the year, we were hopeful and thinking about all the newness of a new year. And now that we're at the end of this year, we're thinking, okay, maybe that one was a good one for the books and maybe we're ready to move on. And so we opened the box of this year and it wasn't exactly what we hoped for. And like the little girl, we would have maybe rather something else, a toy or something else. Maybe it was the hurricane. We've got many friends in here, all of us affected in some way by the hurricane that came through. but some directly that are in our congregation today, directly affected by that and still putting life back together. Maybe you are around your family gatherings through Thanksgiving and Christmas. Maybe there's an empty chair at the table that wasn't empty last year. And so it's a hard time, and maybe putting 2018 in the books and letting it be in the past will be good. And some struggle at work, whether it's a downsizing or a change in a job. Things can get difficult. And so in the midst of all that we go through, how can we have overflowing hope? How can we have hope at all when things are the way that they are? And so what we're going to do is we're going to explore an unusual place in the scripture for a Christmas message. We're going to look at the Old Testament book of Ruth. This is a part of the Old Testament that, if you'll turn to it, it's right after Joshua and Judges, kind of to the left of the Old Testament. And we're going to find where our source of hope can happen. So please turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth is a short book, only four chapters, so if you're not pretty close to right on it, you'll miss it. It's right after the book of Judges. And we're looking at this book so that we can discover the source of our hope, even when times aren't like we would prefer them to be. This book takes place at a time when judges ruled Israel. There was a famine in Israel, and a man named Elimelech decided to move his family to Moab. Now, it's interesting that Elimelech's name means "my God is king," but he's not really living up to his name because he's moving his family out of the promised land, and he's moving them to a foreign land, the foreign land of Moab, and he's trying to find his family food because there was a great famine. Now, Elimelech is married to Naomi. And Naomi's name means pleasant and sweet. And I think that's a nice name, Naomi, pleasant and sweet. They have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, whose names mean sick and dying. Now, if you're going to name your son something, sick and dying may not be the first choice. So as you're choosing names, maybe look into their meaning rather than going with them. So Chilion and Mahlon, sick and dying. And so they move to Moab, and they are married, and while they're there, they marry two Moabite women. And so we see this family in Moab, Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons. But before we get very far into Ruth, in the second paragraph, of chapter 1, some things start falling apart. Listen to verses 3 and 4. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons, her two sons, or her husband. This is just life happening. This is a tough situation for now these three widows, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And they are, so what we have here is three grieving widows in a foreign land. And this leads me to number two on your message notes, that life is a hope crusher. Life at times can be a hope crusher when we don't anticipate things that happen, or that diagnosis comes, or that job transfer happens, or that relationship falls apart. There are things in our life, as we live our life, we would hope that it would be all walks and daisy patches and everything would be nice and would be whistling and just walking along and living our life. But life happens, and it's a life crusher. It's a hope crusher as life happens. And we see that in the story of Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And so this is a crushing situation. And so Naomi and her daughters decide to go back to the promised land, the land of God. And on the way, she encourages her two daughters-in-laws to find a life in Moab and for them to stay. And one, Orpah, decides along the way that she turns around and heads back to Moab. But Ruth decides to stay with her mother, Naomi. And she says, look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. And this is a familiar passage that's just beautiful and shows a commitment. This passage is probably familiar to you because it's used at some weddings. In verse 16 it says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God.'" And she goes on to say, "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me." What a beautiful sentiment of commitment. And so Naomi and Ruth are headed back to the promised land, and they're headed back to home. They were away in the foreign country because of the famine, and now they are headed back home. And what happens is they get back to their home place. They get back there and they begin working, and you can imagine that it created quite a stir back in their hometown when Naomi shows back up. This was the lady that was gone, and now she's back as a widower, and now they're going to make a life there. And the next thing I want you to notice there on your message notes is when life is hard, you have to keep going. You can't stop. You have to keep going. And so as they enter back into their hometown, Ruth begins to work and make a life. And in Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, listen to this. Listen to what they start doing. It says, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go into the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' And Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out and entered the field and began to glean behind the harvesters." As it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz. And so Naomi and Ruth, they get back to Bethlehem. And that, by the way, is the beginning of how this story ties in to the Christmas story. They get back to Bethlehem and they get back to work. They're putting their life back together. These two widows are starting to put their life back together. And something interesting happened even before that. Up in Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, remember that Naomi's name, let's see, I'm sorry. Naomi's name, I wanted to get this just right, means pleasant and sweet, like I mentioned. But in verse 20 of chapter 1, before they get back to Bethlehem, she says, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me, and the Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." And so you can see what's happening, and this is the absence of hope in the life of this lady that's lost her husband, this life of this lady that's lost her children, her two sons. She says, "Call me Mara because that's bitter. Life, God has made my life bitter." And you can appreciate what's going on in her life. She feels like nothing will ever be the same. Nothing will ever be as good. And she's kind of giving up. But you can't do that. When life is hard, you have to keep going and you have to keep working and keep trusting God that God's going to put the broken pieces back together again. Because if we're honest with each other, and this is a great place for honesty, is that we all have broken places in our life. We all have those places that are broken that we need God's touch, we need God's hope to move into our lives so that we can have hope and so that we can have overflowing hope. And so Naomi and Ruth are back in Bethlehem, which connects us to the Christmas story. And they're there, and Ruth gets busy right away, and she's gleaning. She's going behind the harvesters and getting the grain that's left. And something interesting happens. She's gleaning in this man Boaz's field. And Boaz is a rich man, and Naomi catches his eyes. He's a single man, And Naomi catches his eye, and he begins to kind of run interference for her and kind of protect her from a distance as she's working hard in the field. And so, Naomi starts, takes on the role of Cupid, and she is going to help Ruth through a process here of showing her intentions to Boaz. So Naomi takes on Cupid and instructs Ruth that after Boaz has eaten and has satisfied and has turned in for the night, that she is to go to the threshing floor where he is. And we pick up the story in Ruth chapter 3, verse 4. And these are some of Naomi's instructions to Ruth. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. And then Ruth says to Naomi, I'll do whatever you say. And so the next thing I want you to notice here on your message notes is you have to avoid desperation on the journey. When things are not working out, you don't want to lower your standards, or you don't want to do something that's out of character because things are not going the way that they should. And right here in this passage, this is a unique thing that a woman would do to show her intentions towards a man. And there's nothing dirty about this. This is not a compromise. This is more of a communication of to Boaz about Ruth's feelings. And so she lays down, and he wakes up in the night and wonders what's going on. I don't know if it's the coolness on his feet, and he knows that someone is there, and they have this conversation, and he is interested. I don't know that this would be a rough equivalent to like ChristianMatch.com or ChristianMingle.com, and Naomi is saying, Ruth is saying, available, and now Boaz is saying yes. But there's something that's in the way, because Boaz is what's called a kinsman redeemer. That means that Boaz is actually a relative of Elimelech. And so he has the opportunity to purchase Elimelech's land so that it stays in the family's name. When the Israelites took the promised land, all the land was divided. And it's very specific as you look at those passages of scripture in the Bible. And so as people would die off, relatives of them could redeem that property so that it would stay in that tribe. And so what's happening is Boaz, and you can see the hand of God working here, and Ruth is gleaning in Boaz's field. Ruth catches Boaz's eye, and then he happens to be their kinsman redeemer. But there's another member of the family that's even closer to Elimelech, and he has first right of refusal. And Boaz does something kind of interesting. He wants this property. He wants the property as well as Ruth and Naomi. And so he goes to the person that has first right of refusal and says, I'm interested in this property, but it's yours and you should purchase it if you want. But something comes along with this property that I want you to know about, and it's this Moabite woman, Ruth. And so he hears that he would have to take over charge of this Moabite woman, and she is an outsider. She's not a member of God's family. And he says, no, thank you. You go ahead and take that on if you want to. And that's, of course, what Boaz wanted all along. So Boaz was very wise, and there was no compromise in what was going on here. Sometimes in desperate situations, when things are not working out the way that we would want them to, we compromise, and we do things that we wouldn't otherwise do because things are tough. But that's not what's going on here. Ruth is doing exactly the proper thing as she is showing her intention towards Boaz. Boaz is going about it right in the legal way to acquire that property, which will bring Naomi and Ruth along with it. And so there's no compromise here. And so we have to be very careful to avoid desperation on the journey, especially when it is hard. And so Boaz becomes their kinsman redeemer, and he purchases the land, and he's able to take Ruth as his wife. And we see the hope building back into the situation. And so the last thing there on your message notes, number 5, is redemption leads to overflowing hope. And so Boaz, he didn't have to redeem this property. He didn't have to take on Naomi and Ruth, but he did. He looked to their needs, and he was willing to redeem someone that no one else was interested in redeeming. And so Ruth and Naomi's lives are completely changed because of their kinsman redeemer who brought back Ruth and Naomi so that they wouldn't be alone, so that they wouldn't have this desperate situation that they were in. And it's really a beautiful picture of God's love for us as God redeems us back, and that he purchases us back. Listen to this scripture in Ruth chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, then Boaz announced, and you just hear this in his voice, to the elders and all the people, today you are my witnesses, and I have brought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so his name will not disappear from among his family. For from his hometown today you are my witnesses. And so God is blessing this. He has brought them back. And God is blessing this. And look at chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she came to his wife. She became his wife. And then down in verse 14, the women said to Naomi, she had a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, whom this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout all of Israel. And so what's amazing about this story is the tie-in that happens with Bethlehem and what happens there. But I want some of you have noticed this present on the table here. And sometimes when life gets tough and we're unwrapping the presents at Christmas time, sometimes we don't get exactly what we wanted. And so we see the package on the outside, and it may even be the right size. Now, if this was like an iPhone or something, it'd be much smaller. But you have to be careful to go completely on size of the package, because you may open it up and it may be something completely different than you thought it was. And sometimes as we are living our lives and unwrapping what God has for us in those moments, and we're unwrapping it, let me take a little poll real fast. How many of you, when you go after a present like this, wrap it carefully, saving the paper? Do we have any paper savers in the room, like you're real, real careful? All right, because of y'all this morning, I'm going to unwrap this nicely, but I think the funner way to go after a present is like your children do, when they know that there's a toy in the box, and they just start getting into it. So I'm gonna go at it nicely, not tearing it too much. So sometimes as we're living our lives, we are unwrapping it, and it's not turning out exactly the way that we hoped that it would. And this is kind of nice paper, so we could use it for something else. So if you would like the paper, come on up here after. But sometimes as we're living our life, we get some things that that we're not really anticipating. Lay it nicely right there. Straighten that out. So sometimes we get loss or death, or we're in debt. We're in some kind of pain. We have a number of people dealing with chronic pain. There's some type of addiction that comes into our life. Some loneliness happens, especially around the holidays. That cancer word comes up in the diagnosis. Or maybe it's an unemployment kind of situation vocationally. there's something, and we unwrap it, and even though it looked nice on the outside, we see these things, and we're like, what in the world is going on? And things are harder than we want them to be. We could relate with that little girl and say, we wanted a toy. We wanted a Goodyear. We wanted smooth sailing. We wanted nice things. But the thing is that we don't need to give up, that we need to keep on like Naomi and Ruth, show us. And we need to get into the box. And we need to see what's inside. And we don't need to lose hope, but we need to realize that God is the source of our hope. Now, I am not a save-the-paper kind of person, so I would have normally already been in this, and this is wrapped up really nice. I should have brought my knife, because I had an opportunity to use a power tool last week and could have brought out my knife for this one, but I've got it. So we need to look deeper into the box, and using the story of Naomi and Ruth, and the hope that God brought into their life, if they went farther, as God worked in their life, Naomi got a grandson. And that was leading to having hope, because she thought everything was lost, even to rename her, to get people to call her bitter. But that led to her having hope in her life, and it was a hope that God was bringing in there. And that hope also led to a future. That she wasn't at an end in Moab. She was a person that had a future. And along with that future was a great blessing from God. And that blessing mainly came in the form of salvation, because she had a kinsman redeemer, someone that looked at her perilous situation and said, I can do something about that. And notice what's happened here is that even as you're looking at this box, and this box has some of the things, the negative things that happen, it begins to cover up and to overshadow those other things, and we can be a people of genuine hope. But what's interesting is when you fast forward to the New Testament book of Matthew, in the very beginning is the Christmas story, and in that Christmas story, we find the people that have been the subject of the book that we've been looking at this morning. We find Naomi. This is in the genealogy found at the beginning of Matthew. At the beginning of Matthew, we see how this is all connected. Salmon, this is verse 5, Matthew 1, verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, wait a second, I remember Rahab from the Old Testament. What, Rahab was the prostitute as the spies were spying out the land, and Rahab offered them a place of safety. And Rahab's only condition was that she would have a safe place as Jericho was demolished. And so now, this is amazing. We've got Rahab, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. So Boaz, who is the kinsman redeemer in our story, is Rahab's son. And then Boaz was the father of Obed with Ruth, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. And we know that Jesus came from the line of King David. And so we see in this story this morning that God is able to take lives that are broken, that have fallen apart, and bring hope and even a purpose. Because Ruth here is what, the great-grandmother of David. And we see how God is at work doing things that we don't see him doing. Boaz didn't understand what God was doing with his life. Ruth didn't understand. But we see that God has a plan. And God is the one that's able to move into our lives and give us hope in the midst of all of these other things. You see, when we become believers, God doesn't take us out of this world. We still have to endure through the trials and temptations and pain of this world, but God does something for us that we cannot do ourselves, and that is to bring us hope. And that hope is found in the person of Jesus, because many years down the road, Jesus would come and be born as a baby in a manger in a way that no one else has ever been born before, and he would be the one to bring us hope. And so we see a story, the book of Ruth, that seems to be a story about loss and about losing, but really it's about redemption, and it's about gaining the hope of God in our lives, even gaining overflowing hope in our lives so that we can deal with the pain and struggle of this life and have hope in the midst of it. And that is an amazing thing that God has given us the opportunity to do. Aren't you thankful for Jesus who's able to work in our life in such a deep way that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though we endure the storm, even though we endure the loss, that God can work in our lives so that we can be people of hope, that we can grieve as people of hope, that we can live as people of hope. That's what he offers us, because Jesus is our Redeemer. He has bought us back with the price of his death on the cross. And so this morning we start this season focusing on the hope that God brings us, hope, focusing on what only God can do in our lives is bring hope in the midst of everything, the crushing things that this life brings us. Listen, that is a great gift. That is something that we should be thankful for. That's something that we should cling on to when we're going through those tough times. We cling on to the hope that only God brings us. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do in the life of our church during this season. We're going to have a moment of invitation. And if you've got some business to do with God, if you want to join our church, if you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and he's never redeemed you, you can come forward, and we've got some people who would love to talk with you about that. And so we're going to spend a few moments during invitation. So would you please stand? So Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we pray that you would bless us now as we spend these moments focusing on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.